Hi, this is Scott Stanley, continuing to explore the deep things of God. This is our 14th podcast into the book of Revelation. And I appreciate the questions I'm getting, some of the feedback I'm getting. And I pray that you just keep sending in the questions and comments. I like to read what people are thinking about the studies. In our last study, we talked about something that I believe most denominational churches believe, that God sends the Gentile to the Jew, that God will use the Gentiles to save the Jew. But how that comes about was really the subject of our last podcast. Because Paul tells us in Romans 11:25, that when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, blindness has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And then the Gentiles will be sent to Israel, or to the Jew, to give them the gospel message. And he bases that on Isaiah 59:20-21. But what does he mean by the fullness of the Gentiles? Most of my Christian life, as I have heard people try to explain that fullness, they believe it is a fullness in number. In other words, there's a set number in God's mind of Gentiles that are going to come into the gospel. And when that number is reached, he will then turn to the Jew. And I would like to suggest something different to you. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to see something different about fullness. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And again, we're in Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, and I want you to look at this prayer. Ephesians 3:16. Let me read, start at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of Jesus. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he, the Father, now just read this closely, that the Father would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that the Father would grant you to be strengthened with ability by his Spirit in your inner man. And I would just like to say inner man's the conscience. His Spirit being in your inner man. What do we mean, his Spirit? His understanding. His emotional side. This is his understanding. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. The Spirit of the Father in your inner man. Christ in your heart by faith. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How are they going to hear without a preacher? Faith is something that has been taught us, because eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. But he has revealed them unto us through his Spirit. For Christ to dwell in our hearts by faith, it is what we have been taught concerning him. and for you to possess the Spirit of the Father. Have that same attitude, that same love. So let's continue reading. It's in Ephesians 3. Again, I'm going to read verse 16. That He, the Father, would grant you according to the riches of His glory, that you would be strengthened with ability by having His Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through what you've been taught, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and let me just say that to learn the truth about the Father, see, God is love, and if you have Him in your inner man, God is love, that He would give you ability by His Spirit of love being in your inner man, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of that love, and that you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. That's the fullness. See, when the Gentiles reach the fullness, they will be sent to Israel to deliver the gospel message. Why do you have to reach this fullness? And what is the fullness? It appears that the fullness is having an understanding of the love of God. And maybe there is so much to that. I mean, I'm not kidding myself. Like, I think I know all about the love of God. But I pray to know enough to enter into that fullness and to be used of God to deliver the gospel to the Jew, or to literal Israel, that spiritual Israel may be saved. Remember, all of our Christian lives, really all of our lives, but all of our Christian lives where we have been searching to know the will of God and the truth concerning God. All of our lives we've been in apostasy. We have been living in an apostasy. An apostasy from the truth. From the apostles, as again stated, 1 John chapter 2, 18. Many antichrists are already here. That's why we know it's the end. They went out from us. Us who? Us, the apostles. So we have been learning not the truth, but the apostasy. And the book of Revelation is about the people who come out of the apostasy. Well, this apostasy, coming out of this apostasy, we don't want to just simply read this in the book of Revelation and say, oh, look, you know, somebody comes out. How do you come out? How do you come out away from the apostasy so that you can possess the fullness of Christ and be sent to literal Israel people, that spiritual Israel may be saved? Remember in Isaiah 9, 8, the Lord sent a word into Jacob, the people who have not yet wrestled with the angel. He sent a word into Jacob. It lighted upon Israel. See, the word is sent to those who don't believe. And when they receive that truth, they become Israel. He sends the word into Jacob. It lights upon Israel. Well, we as Gentiles want to be in that number, the number of those who give the message to Jacob. But to do that, you've got to reach the fullness. Another description of this fullness is seen in Colossians chapter 2. Let me just turn over there right quick. In Colossians 2:9, for in him, or in Christ, dwells all the fullness of divinity bodily. That verse has been used so often to show that Christ is equal to God. But if you look at Colossians 1:19, it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. So we want the fullness of Christ. The prophecy is when the Gentiles reach the fullness, they go to the Jew. But we've been in apostasy. So what is the way out of the apostasy? The two things the apostasy believes. They deny the Father and Son in eternity past, and they deny Christ came in the flesh. So if we can begin to grasp the love of God, first seeing a Father bringing forth a Son in eternity, creating all things through his Son, and then sending his Son to give his life for us. Because we know God doesn't make a record, God is love, the life of his Son was to eradicate the record from us. We have the record of guilt and the record of anger, the record of nakedness, that record of darkness, having no understanding of God. We carry that record, and the truth of the gospel corrects all of that. What we need to understand is, how does that happen? How does the truth of the gospel correct us? God doesn't keep a record. We keep the record. Well, how does the truth of the gospel free us from the record of guilt and what other people have done to us and so on? How does that work? Well, if Jesus Christ was the Son of God, born in eternity, he was the God of Israel, and God created all things through him. But he emptied himself and became a man. And we see in Luke chapter 2 how he grew in wisdom. And we see in Hebrews 5, and I want to read this, starting at verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him out of death, he was heard in that he feared, though being a son, or though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Again, look closely at verse 9. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Salvation is the perfection of your faith. 1 Peter 1:9, the completion of your faith. So we see Christ emptying himself, growing in wisdom, coming to the place where he is perfected through suffering and being made perfect, see, in the flesh, in the days of his flesh. He became the author of eternal salvation. If Jesus Christ became a man and did that, what is preventing you and I from doing that? I think that is the thing about understanding, believing that Christ came in the flesh. He came with a fleshly understanding of God and had to grow in knowledge himself and grow in wisdom. And he went through that process of salvation himself. See, the way we identify and try to explain salvation is so bogus that, well, God forgave me, so I'm saved. I prayed the prayer, I'm saved, I can go to heaven. But Christ became the author of eternal salvation. He authored it. He was made perfect through suffering. Salvation begins with a conversion where you give your life to God and you let Him begin to increase your faith by giving you, sending you to His ministry. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Well, how are you going to hear without a preacher? Well, He's going to give you one who is going to teach you the truth, so that you can stand with Christ through every step that He Himself took. Learning obedience through suffering and authoring eternal salvation. Remember, till we all come in the unity of the faith. See, if we're going to be in unity, we can't have some of us in apostasy and some of us not. You have to come out of apostasy. We have to come out of the Babylonian way of thinking and stand with God. And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you cast it down. Everything. Well, yeah, but you know, my preacher's telling me if it's not in line with the gospel, you cast it down. And I don't mean the gospel of the universal church. I mean away from the apostasy, away from the Trinity, away from the little baby with the halo, into the fullness of Jesus Christ. That is what we're looking for. And to get that fullness, He says, I pray the Spirit of the Father be in your inner man, Christ be in your heart by faith, that you might possess this fullness, that you'll know love, the length, depth, height, see, of love. Love is God. God is love. If we deny Jesus as the Son of God, if you deny Father and Son, you don't have the Son and you don't have the Father. We teach the Father birthed the Son in eternity. He really is the Father. And that's why the God we teach is greater than the God of the universal church, because our God brings the love of a Father and Son into the picture, so we can identify with that kind of love and be saved from our iniquity. Now, I can speak for hours about the cross, what actually happened on the cross, and go into the details about it, and it, to me, it's just fascinating. But for this podcast right now, I want to tell you that Christ on that cross was a picture of fallen humanity. He was a type. He was an outward expression of inward truth. And the crown of thorns, everything had meaning of guilt and pain and suffering and so on. But he was us. He became a picture of us. And in that state of being, when that sun was darkened, he became a full picture of us. See, when he's first on the cross, the sun is out. But at the sixth hour, the sun was darkened, and we no longer saw the sun. We saw man, fallen man, depicted. And in that state, he prays a prayer that I have never been told it is a prayer. But that, Father, I feel forsaken. Nevertheless, I thirst. It's finished. I'm not going to keep trying to correct myself and help myself. I'm turning to you. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And that prayer is something that we can pray and unite with him in death. You let Jesus Christ on that cross lead you in that prayer unto death. So that you die spiritually. And the way you see God and the way you see people changes. And you see God as love and he doesn't require a sacrifice. We require the sacrifice because we have the crown of thorns and the stripes and the nakedness and the darkness. He portrays us. God gives us the sacrifice so we can correct our thinking and stop living in iniquity and letting iniquity control us. And if you continue in the truth, you'll be free from iniquity. He died to redeem us from all iniquity. And that needs to be fully understood. And once he replaces our iniquity, he will replace your iniquity with truth. And I mean, you know, if you consider iniquity as being, let's say, false teaching, well, he'll give you the truth. If you're angry toward your brother because of whatever reason, God will show you the truth of why you're angry. Whatever that iniquity is that you're manifesting, God will help you see it and correct it. And that is what Paul means by working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus Christ was born of the Father in eternity. The Father created all things through him. He came into this world to bear witness to the truth. The truth wasn't just simply truth about God, but truth about us. And the way God sees us. He bore witness to that truth. He created a tool at Calvary, at that cross. A tool that we can learn to look at that truth of what he's portraying on Calvary concerning us. And see ourselves, see the inward part, see what you can't see. And he shows you what's wrong with the man standing next to you. He too has guilt and shame and anger and nakedness and darkness. We all do. So that as you try to work your way through the iniquity unto the truth, and that is Christ's job to do that, to help you do that. As you work through that process, you are growing in wisdom yourself, and you are learning obedience through suffering. and you are being made in the image of Jesus Christ. Again, the doctrine taught by the apostasy will never bring you to that place. And I beg of you to look at your own life. Are you satisfied living in the iniquity that you have? Because the apostasy told me that I would continue to sin until God gives me a new body. And yet, that is not what Paul wrote to the Romans. That does not portray the work of Christ on that cross. And I want all of whatever it is God wants to give me through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the unity of what we're being taught. You can't be taught by the apostasy. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto what? A perfect man. The fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. That is an impossibility without the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ did not die to pay your sin debt. He died to set you free from sin. God doesn't have a debt that needs to be paid unless you know the truth of the gospel and you choose not to live in it. Now you're guilty. On the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. People were not guilty. The truth had not been given them at that point. Well, now it has. It's been given to us. And Paul says we are debtors not to live according to the flesh, but to live according to the Spirit. So, the truth of the gospel can go on and on and on, growing in understanding and us growing in our understanding of that gospel and coming out of sin. What I'm trying to do at this point is to tell you there is a process of reaching the fullness. When God's church reaches that fullness, He sends them to the Jew. That fullness will be reached during the sounding of the trumpets. So the gospel goes out to all the world. And we will reach a time where the Gentiles, He will say, it's time to go prophesy again. Don't go to the Gentiles. They're trampling underfoot the holy city. Let's not go to the Jew. And you will have reached the fullness when that happens. So there is something about giving this message to another person and being forthright and standing tall in courage, speaking the truth, that can not only save the hearer, but help you walk in the fullness of God's love. Love is just not simply being nice. Love is speaking the truth. If you love somebody, you're going to tell them the truth. The truth can be uncomfortable. It doesn't mean you have to say it hateful, but you need to say it. The world is full of apostasy. Grab hold of the light. Speak it to the world. And pull as many of these people out of that Gehenna fire as you can. Because the fires are raging. The smoke from the fire darkens the truth. Their anger, their bitterness toward the truth. They have not the love of the truth. You've got to speak to those who have ears to hear and walk in harmony with God in every way. That concludes our podcast for today, and we're going to be coming back in a week with another one, and we're going to continue building on the truths, the foundation that we're laying of the book of Revelation. So again, if you have questions, visit our website, dtgrev.net, and find the podcast. There's a form there to type out a question and send it to me. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about Revelation. It can be about anything you want. But let's keep the information flowing. Let's keep the pot stirred. And let's wake up and let everything be filtered through God's understanding. How is He seeing this world? How is He seeing His church? And how is He seeing us? May we glorify God in every way. Father, we worship You. We see our vulnerabilities, but we pray for Your strength. We thank You for Your forgiveness and love in Jesus' name. Amen.